And Ed, I understand that you got behind the wheel. So tell us about the Solo. It looks completely bizarre.
It does look completely bizarre. Basically, as you look at the car on the front, it's a normal looking car, but then you go around the side and it kind of looks a bit like a tadpole. That's how I describe it. A normal front with this kind of tail and the single third wheel at the back. And it's really an interesting experience to drive it. Essentially, it's just like driving a normal car. It has normal drive settings. You've got drive, reverse, neutral, an accelerator, a brake, indicators. It's not like a go-kart, it's not like a motorcycle, it is like a car. The principal difference being that this car is so small and that you're so low to the ground, so when you're weaving in and out of traffic, you know, that you kind of feel slightly vulnerable when you've got, you know, big trucks going past, the big cars and things like that. But to all intents and purposes, it is just a very small electric car. And, you know, as you go about it and you compare it to driving, say, the Tesla Model 3, there is no difference apart from when you look on your left, you look on your right. There's nothing on either side of you, just doors and wing mirrors, because it is a single seater.
Sounds a bit dangerous. Can this car really make life easier and more affordable for commuters?
So that's one of its principal uses, that the company Electromechanica wants it to replace the commuter car. Essentially, it's kind of accepted that more than 80% of North American commuters drive to work every day on their own, which raises the question, you know, why have a car where three of those seats are redundant? And this car, you know, it has 100 miles of range. It can do 0 to 60 in around 8 seconds. It performs as a car does, and it's also affordable. $15,500. The problem is one of personal finance and economics. Most families simply can't rely on a single-seater car. Of course they don't. They want an SUV. They want a bigger car to transport their families. And the company makes no secret that the Solo is basically complementary to your family car. And then you really dig into it. There isn't much of a saving to be had with something like this, because if you're running two family cars in parallel, one is single-seater, no matter how cheap it is to run that Solo, the cost, the kilowatt-hour cost of running the car, at the end of the day, you're only using it part of the time. But it is very interesting. It also doesn't really go with the trend of what a North American consumer wants at the moment. The reality is that 7 out of 10 US consumers are buying trucks, right? They're buying SUVs. So the idea of pitching this single seat, tiny little car as your everyday commute in LA, they're principally looking at California, by the way, but they are available in Oregon, in Vancouver as well. You know, the idea of getting into this thing each day might be a little bit alien to consumers all around the West Coast.
How come many of us have never heard of this company?
It's completely bizarre. So this is a NASDAQ-listed company. They IPO'd in August of last year. They have 23,000 pre-orders for the Solo, and they've kind of gone under the radar. And it's a really interesting thing. I went to their factory in Vancouver, and I was asking them, how are you possibly delivering this vehicle if you have 23,000 orders? And the answer is China. They're going to mass produce the car in China in a more cost-effective way. They say the margins are 25% gross profit on each vehicle. Now you compare that to Tesla, the Model 3 has 24.7 margin. So as a business, it does seem viable. The question is though, can they mass produce it? Will we actually see the cars being delivered from China and then eventually on the streets of LA and cities like San Francisco, Vancouver?